on Israel after God squeezed him in Genesis 43:1.
You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen, and good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and we just want to thank you for joining us today. And we believe that there are many who are listening, that we just thank you. And you know, we're happy to hear from those who are listening to the program and sending in your comments and your, comments and your thoughts about different things. So we appreciate that. And again, if you have any questions or comments about any of the things that we talk about, you can go to the website, WCNO.com. where you can use that prayer request form and let us know if you have any, let us know what your questions are, your comments, or if there's anything that you'd like us to discuss. And as I always say, that we don't know from week to week what we're going to be talking about. You know, each of us spends our week with the Lord and in our prayer time. And then when we gather together, we just bring, each brings their peace to what the Lord has given them. And it works harmoniously every week, and we just thank God for that. And today we have two guests with us. We've got Carol Scott from Aglow, from Women's Aglow, and her guest also, Lorraine Talamini. So they had been here with us in December to let us know about an Aglow event that they were having, and then we invited them back to share what happened at the event and how that all went. And we'll get to them in a little bit. And I just want to acknowledge my brother Scene. Good morning, Scene.
Good morning.
Are you here?
Good afternoon.
Oh gosh, it's the afternoon thing.
Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And so I just wanted to, we're going to talk the first few minutes about, you know, whatever the Lord has. I have something, and Scene and Deanne and Nanette would also have something. And then we'll go to a break. And then we come back from the break, we'll have, we'll introduce Carol, and she'll be telling us about Aglow. So I just wanted to say, you know, that the Lord had told me to mention about the Freedom 250, the Rededicate 250, a national moment of faith, which is taking place on May 17th at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And to me, this is really a significant event. Not only is it the nation's 250th birthday, but there's many things that are going to be taking place in July, and there's actually things going on all year long, you know, related to the to America and America's founding, America's history, and then where our nation is going to be going. But this event on May 17th is going to be focused on prayer and rededicating the country to the Lord. And so I'll just read the announcement that they had here, that the Americans from across the nation will gather on the National Mall for Rededicate 250, a once-in-a-lifetime faith event that celebrates America's 250th anniversary with a national jubilee of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And as I had mentioned before, President Trump announced this during the National Prayer Breakfast. And he said, on May 17th, we're inviting Americans from all across the country to come together on our National Mall to pray, give thanks, and rededicate America as one nation under God. As the country approaches its semi-quincentennial, that's a big, a lot of words right there, wrapped up in one, it says the day will begin at sunrise with worship and in thanks and praise for how God has powerfully shaped our nation and our people for 250 years. As the day unfolds, voices from across the nation will rise together, bearing the witness of faith leaders and public servants, joined by worship artists and choirs, to reflect on defining moments, courageous lives, and extraordinary chapters in our history that reflect God's providence. Through scripture and testimony and worship, the American people will be invited to remember the unmistakable hand of God at work in our national life, and ask God's blessing for the next 250 years, and to will solemnly rededicate our country as one nation under God. And it's this Rededicate 250 is a national initiative calling Americans to reflect, pray, and give thanks as the country approaches its 250th anniversary. Through large-scale gatherings, storytelling, service, and faith-based engagement, the initiative seeks to renew America's commitment to unity, gratitude, and the enduring values that have shaped the nation. So there's a mouthful there, a lot there. And as I had said, on the White House website, they have a section dedicated to this, to the prayer event and all the other events that are going to be taking place. So if you go to whitehouse.gov, you can find a lot of really amazing information. And just one of the things I wanted to talk about today was they had printed out prayers and proclamations throughout American history. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been reading some of those. And today, wanted to talk about the Cape Henry landing in Jamestown, Virginia in 1607. And it says, on April 29th, 1607, a group of English settlers under the charter of the Virginia Company of London landed at Cape Henry near present-day Virginia Beach before proceeding inland to establish what would become Jamestown Colony, the first permanent English settlement in North America. Upon arrival, the colonists held the first official Anglican act of worship on American soil, the symbolic act of raising the cross and dedicating the land through prayer, led by Reverend Robert Hunt, made clear that Jamestown was not merely a political and economic endeavor. The Cape Henry landing reveals the extent to which Christianity, particularly Protestantism, accompanied the English colonial enterprise from its inception. While the prayer commonly cited as Reverend Hunt's declaration at Cape Henry is often invoked in commemorative ceremonies and reflections of the discovery of New York, of the New World, no contemporaneous documentation exists to verify its authenticity. And this prayer is a powerful symbol of faith of the early settlers, whose original charter did, in fact, charge them with the dual purpose of settling the land and propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness. So, again, this is this prayer that I'll read attributed to Reverend Robert Hunt. It says, we do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us. And with these generations, take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as the earth remains. And may this land, along with England, be evangelists to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we have done here, and may those who come to inhabit join with us in this covenant, in this most noble work, that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. From these very shores, the gospel shall go forth, not only to this new world, but the entire world. And again, that was from the Cape Henry landing in 1607, which is a little bit before the Pilgrims landed in Massachusetts. And also it was after the Spanish explorer landed in St. Augustine, but they didn't settle. I was kind of wondered about that because that was in the 1500s that the Spaniards came, but they didn't come with the intent to settle. The Jamestown came with the intent to settle in America. And then, of course, the Pilgrims came after that in like 20-something years later. So pay attention to what's happening in the country and what God, you know, when the focus is on God, you know, when the people of God can join and get behind what has already been done, what has already been prophesied, what has already been proclaimed in the land. You know, it's, I don't know about anybody else, but it seems like for years, maybe we've kind of forgotten about the beginning. We've forgotten about God, you know, just like the Israelites, when things got really good, they forgot about God and they just enjoyed their stuff. And then, you know, before you know it, things started infiltrating into the camp, if you will. And you know, the enemy desires to come in and take what belongs to you. And, you know, I just feel like this is a crucial time that we need to reestablish and rededicate the nation to God and to solidify it like they're talking about for the next 250 years. Because if you don't hang on to it, somebody's going to come and take it from you. And there's a lot of different threats in different areas. So it's incumbent upon us to be in agreement. And again, like I had mentioned the first day when I had talked about this, when President Trump announced it at the prayer breakfast, I didn't even know that this was going to be happening on May 17th. But I heard President Trump say, we're going to rededicate America to God. And that just really hit my spirit. And again, when a king makes a decree or a declaration, there's weight to it. It's not like, you know, the church, we can stand up in the church and pray all we want. But until the leader of the country acknowledges and does it and makes the decree, then it doesn't have the weight. But when he makes the decree, then we can be in alignment with that. And we're going to see God move in the nation. So I just encourage everyone to really go to the whitehouse.gov, Freedom 250, and look at all the different things that they have going on. It's really encouraging. And plus, you, like me, you'll get a crash course in history, which, you know, many things, it was like I kind of have little faint memories of learning stuff in school, but it's good to have a refresher course. So that's what I have. And what you got, Nanette?
Jeez.
You're always first.
She just always throws me out there. Well, I've been in this place of just praise, you know? I really have been in that place. And the Lord is so good that he's been singing over me and he's been giving me songs and I'm singing back to him at this time. That's where I'm at. And one of the songs that are really just even singing through me now as you were talking about, like, the rededication of this nation is, you know, those simple words, find me faithful, you know? And we know in the book of Luke, you know, he was like, and I'm paraphrasing because I forgot my Bible, actually. And so when it says that the Son of Man, you know, who will he find in faith? You know, who will he find with faith?
Yes.
And gosh, that's just been like vibrating in me. Like, I can't explain it, but it's just over and over and over again, and it's taking over. Like, will I find you faithful? Mm-hmm. Will I find you faithful? And so, you know, and there's an actual song, and I do have my phone, and I was able to pull it up. And it's amazing, like, these words where it says, you know, I fall down upon the ground, press my face against the earth till my heart, it raises over my head as the wheat, it bows down low. When the autumn wind blows, I kneel before the one I love. And it says, find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees, find me dreaming, find me singing, find me lost in your grace. And it says, like the dust that you first hailed in a garden where you knelt, pull me up against your face again. Wow. Hmm. Can you, you know, can you picture that? Till the breath of your hope fills the depths of my soul. Till all I know is I've been found by love. And it just find me faithful. So that's what I want to encourage everyone today. Just continue to be faithful. You know, let's continue to spur one another in the most holy faith. Let's continue to work towards that perfection, the maturity in Christ. Let's bind together. Let us knitly become one together. And as that prayer is going forth and the rededication of our nation, we should all just gird up and hold, you know, hold one another and say, you're going to find us faithful in the end. No matter what happens, you're going to find your people that belong to you faithful to the very end. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like that about the, I was just reading earlier about maturity, unity and maturity in the body in Ephesians 4. Mm-hmm. You know, that really should be the aim of the church in this moment, is to be faithful yourself and then be faithful with those around you that God has put into your life, and be with the people who are seeking after God. The people that are not looking for God, you know, maybe just let them go. But be with the ones who are seeking the Lord so that we can be strengthened, you know, all the more as we see the day approaching. And, stay in that secret place. And gather with the Lord every day, as often as you can, as much as you can, so that he can work out his plans in your life and that he can fill you to the fullness of what he desires for you. You know, the old, I don't know if it was the Navy or the Army, be all you can be. Mm. Mm-hmm. I think that was the Army.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to love that commercial.
Be all you can be in the Lord in this hour. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has to be who they are, and let people be who they are, and then you be who you are. And once you know who you are, you can get along with everybody else. Yes. So, Deanne, do you have anything or a scene? Because we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to introduce Carol.
Just that Jesus, our Lord, said that upon this rock of revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And that revelation is who he is. And, you know, there's a natural clock and there's a spiritual clock. We have Israel and we have the church. But I just have this word in my spirit about lava. You know, what's What is lava? Lava is molten rock that breaks through the Earth's surface during volcanic eruption. For the spiritual significance of God's refining fire, purification, and transformative power. These are the days that we're living in, because the lava is breaking through the ordinary, manifesting God's glorious purification of heart and motives in the earth as we sit and believe and receive right now.
Amen.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm in a different place. I'm out of my normal comfort. The Lord's had me in Hebrews, and it's been really awesome. It's been really awesome. I mean, the word he gave me about a week ago was he's looking for worshipers, he's looking for faith, and he's looking for belief. Mm-hmm. Will we truly believe and take him at his word? So I'm just going to just highlight these in Hebrews 11, we know is the faith chapter. So all of these precious ones by faith, by faith, by faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, for by it the men of old obtained a good report. So we do. We want to obtain that good report. We want to be found faithful, because God is faithful and he's looking for faith. He's looking for partners that will be in faith with his kingdom for his will to be done. And by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, we know the stories. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Sarah found herself able to conceive, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Abraham was tested when he offered up Isaac. So there's always going to be testing. Mm-hmm. Life is a test. We're always going to be tested. Mm-hmm. Are we going to remain steady and constant and focused on the word of God? Or are we going to be tossed to and fro and have that doubt that God says, let that man expect to get nothing? Mm-hmm. So by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, you know, he gave instruction. By faith, Moses, he left his place in Pharaoh's court and he was obeying the Lord. By faith, women received their dead raised to life again. These all have obtained a good report through faith. They may not have obtained the promise before they passed, but I don't remember who was talking about, Karen. So it's seed. Everything that has been sown in prayer, in faith, in obedience from the beginning of this nation until now, so coming up 250 years, it's all seed. It's all seed. And all we have to do is come into agreement with those seeds. God gave me word years ago that he cannot return until every seed that was planted will come to harvest. He's going to harvest everything, all the prayers, all the tears, his words that we stood and believed and contended for. Everything is going to come to harvest before Christ returns. So we are going to be in agreement with our country, with our president, with our federal government, and everyone gathering at that time. But let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne. For consider him who endured such hostility. How many are enduring hostility right now in this nation and around the world? Christians that are being martyred, Christians that are being killed, that are being abused. Have we come to that place of bloodshed? Have we come to that place of intense suffering in this nation? We have not. But it's saying, consider Jesus, who endured all of that, lest you become weary and your hearts give up. So we must not give up. We must remember and we must contend. We must partner. It's not about ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions, what we like, what we don't like, who, you know, did we vote for Trump or not vote for Trump? It is 100% not about that. Mm-hmm. It is about get in line, get in line with the kingdom of heaven, get in line with the will of God, get in line for this hour right now. We, my brother and I were talking, you know, how many times we could have been killed. He's 55, I'm 64. How many times the enemy tried to take us out, but we're here right now. Right now, for such a time as this, to fulfill God's call and will as who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing for the kingdom. It's not about my satisfaction, my will, what makes me happy, all of my material things, my joys, my... No, it's daily surrender. God, what am I to do for your kingdom today? And we just, God is uniting and drawing and bringing us together right now because it's critical. It's a critical hour of prayer. It's a critical hour of surrender. It's a critical hour of faith, to just faith. It's God.
Amen. Gosh. Amen. All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll be introducing Carol, and she'll be telling us about a glow. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Hi, this is Sherry. Prayer and Share is coming up soon, and I'm excited to be taking your calls and speaking with you again. Did you know you are an integral part of our support? Beginning March 16th and continuing through the 27th, you will be able to stand with us in prayer and financial support. Please begin to pray how you can help WCNO spread the good news of Jesus through our programs and music. Won't you consider making that call? 772-221-1100.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
All right, we are back. We're back. And thank you again for joining us today. So I want to introduce Carol Scott. She is the president.
It's great to be here.
President of Aglow, right?
Yes.
Why don't you just tell us everything about
All
yourself?
All righty. All right. I'm with Aglow International. Even as Karen introduced us as a Women's Aglow, it was Women's Aglow.
How did I have that in my brain?
1967, when it began with four women around a kitchen table, it was Women's Aglow because it was in response to Full Gospel businessmen that were having their meetings, and I used to be there with my husband. They wanted something for the women. And something to raise up the women of leadership. And that's what Aglow has been doing now for 59 years. And I want to report to you, we're in over 170 nations. Now, only God can do that. And our ministry, the theme is Be Aglow and Burning with the Spirit. What? Serving the Lord. And that's what our whole focus is. We have lighthouse meetings. That's what we call our groups, because we want to shine the light of Jesus in our communities. And so we have Bible studies. We have once a month meetings. And if you're looking for a group or you have a group, we would love to be involved with you. We also partner with other ministries, just as we did on the campus of Indian River College for National Collegiate Day of Prayer. We were there. InterVarsity is there, and we were partnering with them. There are other groups there, too. But we work together as one, and it's just an amazing what God can do. So, you know, we share the good news of Jesus Christ and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and just allowing God to move in our midst, in His presence. That's what it's all about, is the presence of the Lord. And so even as one of our events that Lorraine Telamini, she's the guest today. She was the guest for our event in January of prophetic activation. And I know that it works because on our campus, our theme was to come to your destiny. Do kids know what their destinies? I tell you, they know a lot more than I used to know when I went to college, I can tell you. And the things they're thinking about. Do you know that these college kids, I was just at one of their Bible studies, and they were talking about loneliness and, you know, self-destruction, you know, looking up online, how they could kill themselves. Did I think about that? No, I was thinking about get that job, or... Or that guy that's going to, you know, take care of my world, you know. But to think of suicide, these kids are so far beyond where we are. But I tell you, the love of the Lord that I saw in those kids was amazing. But we wanted to impart destiny. What does God have? What is that? That within you. They want purpose. They do. And obviously, you can see one of my heart's cry is college kids. And so anyway, but I want to let Lorraine share about prophetic activation, which we used on the college campus, finding destiny in their name. So take it away.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. I've just been listening to all these on fire warriors of hidden treasure, and I'm just know I'm in the right place this morning. Prophetic Company is really about teaching people how to hear the voice of God, and we do that by showing examples of the Bible, which is what I love this morning. Everybody was speaking out of the Word of God. You know, everyone can hear the voice of God. Back in the day, in the Old Testament, the prophet heard the voice of God for the people. But in the New Testament, the prophet hears the voice of God with the people. And nothing gives people more dignity than to know that they can hear the voice of God for themselves. Okay. So that's what Prophetic Company is about. Obviously, when you get activated, when you hear God's voice, and we hear by seeing, hearing, perceiving, and sensing. Perceiving is a knowing, and sensing is by our feelings. You know, not our hurt feelings, but what we're feeling from the Holy Spirit. So one of the things we talk about a lot is that your name is connected to your destiny. And we know that, you know, because the name Jesus means Savior. And Donald, for example, means world ruler. Wow, right?
Wow.
And we all know what Trump means, right? So it is a fact. Like, it was so important to God. That's why he was consistently changing people's names, because their name was connected to their purpose, to their destiny, like Carol said. And I have to tell you, as you all know, because this is a prophetic show, and the prophetic has really been taking a hard hit lately. And that's because the enemy knows that it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. When people know that they can hear God's voice and they can get wisdom and direction, see, that's what happened to our president. He went through hell, right? They wanted to keep him away because God chose him. It doesn't matter if he's singing in a choir or if he got his degree in theology. The Lord chose him. So, you know, when he speaks now, he speaks knowing God chose me. And, of course, he went through his own journey like we all do, right? It was that day at Butler. It changed everything. I know I was pretty, like, you know, contending with God. And that day I was like, yeah, it's going to happen. There's a change coming. And that's why our kids are the way they are, because of the agenda that they're pushing. It's an agenda that's opposite of God, and it's an opposite of freedom. It's about bondage. So I just really, everything everybody said, I've been thinking about faith, you know, God saying, am I going to find faith on the earth when I come back?
Right.
And I'm always saying to believers, you know, we're called believers, like, for a reason, because believers, our faith, our destiny is connected to that name, right? So it was awesome to have all of these people come together. And at first, as I was started to say and went off on a tangent, I apologize, but I'm excited. When we got all these people together, there was you could feel the wall. You had to break through the wall. So I looked at my husband, because we do this together. We're about building prophetic companies. You know, it's. I love the way you spoke on unity. You know, that was really Jesus's prayer, right? In John 17, not the Our Father, but the Lord, I want for my body to be one. He wants the body to be one, even as you and I are one, Father. He was praying to the Father. Amen. He was looking for unity. Amen. And we so need that in the body of Christ right now. We need to be unified behind our president, and we need to be unified together, and especially the prophetic family. We need to look the enemy in the eye and say, we were born to prophesy. We were born to have the spirit of wisdom on us, and the spirit of might, amen, and the spirit of revelation.
Amen.
Right? And that's what we love to impart to everyone. So I looked at my husband and I said, okay, we got to do this. So we had everyone do two lines.
Okay.
And then we had one side close their eyes, and the other side was to move around and go in front of someone. And we said, okay, now you ask God what he's saying to that person, and you go ahead and tell that person what God is saying. And that happened. When that shifted the entire atmosphere, because when my husband asked, did any of it that you heard resonate? 90% of the hands went up. And then they all of a sudden realized, oh, wait, we can hear God's voice for ourselves. So that's really what Prophetic Company is about. It's about learning to prophesy, yes, but it's more about learning the different ways that we can hear God's voice and learning that we can see. Like, for example, we talk about Jeremiah. When he, you know, the Lord asked him, what do you see? And he said, I see an almond branch. Well, as you read on, you can figure out that he's actually seeing an almond branch. But then with Amos, because we can see externally, internally, or mystically. And I know a lot of people don't like the word mystic, but the reality is that the prophets of old were mystics. It just means mysterious. It comes from the root word mystery, right?
Yes, right.
So it's so important that prophetic people mentor other prophetic people, because when you first start out with, you know, seeing and hearing and sensing, you get a little weird. So you need an older, more seasoned person to come alongside of you and to help you navigate through that stuff and to,
amen,
keep bringing you back to the Word.
Amen.
Keep bringing you back to the Word.
Amen.
Is it in the Word? Does it line up with the Scriptures?
Yes.
You know, so that's why, I mean, I'm 59, so I'm not that young. But when I came to Aglow International, which is where I got my, you know, warrior boots and all my training and all my, how do they say, what you get in the Army, your
stripes.
Your stripes. There you go. That's where I got my stripes. And I'm not in Aglow anymore, but they still embrace me because it's about unity. It's such an excellent ministry. And I know everyone in this room has experienced, right? The shunning, the feeling out of place, the square peg and the round hole, because when you're prophetic, you're unusual. And people need to hear that. You know, like people say, oh, I'm weird. And then you can say, we're all weird, honey. We're all weird, you know? So that's what Prophetic Company is about. It's really about training and equipping the saints to operate in the gifts. But before you can operate in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and signs, miracles, and wonders, you need the basics, which is to hear the voice of God and to know that you have something to say. So we teach people that you can look up a person's name, and then it's not the definition that's the message from God. When you look up the name, then you ask, okay, Lord, what are you saying about this person regarding this? And then God gives you a message, or he might give you one word, but you have to open your mouth in faith, give that word, and then before you know it, he fills it with the rest. So we make it real practical for people to understand that you don't have to be a graduate of theology, or in fact, it's a little harder for some of those folks to flow with the Spirit. You don't have to have all that. You can hear the voice of God, and also you don't have to be weird. Even though I don't get upset when people act weird. The Holy Spirit does manifest sometimes and causes that to happen, and that's a beautiful thing. But if you're at the supermarket, you only have like 5 minutes with this person, so you want to hear what God has to say and bless them for the day. Because one of the ways that we can stand with President Trump is by being the church, to be the ecclesia, the governing body, not just playing church, but actually saying, okay, Lord, I'm working for you. I'm your ambassador. Amen. Who do you want to bless today? Wherever I go on my regular day, who do you want to bless? Because that's what he's calling us to do. He's calling the army, the ecclesia, to rise up and be the army. And when someone's talking about our president, we go, I love you with the love of the Lord, but I can't listen to that because I'm fasting negativity today. And just keep on trucking. Shut it down. Shut it down. We're in a war, folks.
Amen.
We're in a war. We've been in a war since 2020, and it's just intensifying. So we have got to rise up and do our part. And part of doing that is to train up the saints for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
The harvest is like, woo, we need to call people in because we don't know. We might be here 250 years. I know my kids hope so, but we may not. Maybe the king is coming back, and we don't want to leave anybody behind, do we? I know I sure don't.
I don't.
You can see why we had a terrific event. In fact, only two people left, and that was because they had another venue they had to go to. But they stayed from 9 to 4 p.m., and they still didn't want to leave. I'm telling you, when they share what God has taught them and lived, they live it. I know them. They live it.
Amen.
The activation, and I know since then, my gosh, I can't go hardly anywhere without the Holy Spirit, you know, saying here, there, you know, don't you see that dress? And it's just amazing to be able to pray with people, and they cry. They just stand there and cry, and you know, you just don't know What a hug, what yes. a one word, you know, that says I care. And I know we saw it on the campus, I'm telling you. The lady that delivered the pizza, I asked, would you like some prayer? And she laid her head on my shoulders. Mm. I mean, you can't make that kind of stuff up. It's the presence of the Lord. Amen. As the Lord showed me 2 years ago, the harvest field was ripe. You know, I saw the fields. He said, the fields of dreams. If you remember that movie way back when.
Oh, yeah.
He showed that to me, mm-hmm. field of dreams. And right away, I said it was the harvest. Yes. So we really, at the college, we feel like we really made a difference. And so.
Yeah, I saw that on social media.
Oh,
I was
like,
oh, they went to IRSC. That's awesome. I was like, wow, I wonder what happened. Like,
so,
I wonder what took place.
Yeah, so my question is, when you do these meetings, including this event you did, how many people are already familiar with the prophetic? You know, because, you know, prophetic people can easily just adjust to,
right.
You know, are different people in the prophetic. But for those that have no experience, those that are kind of afraid, because there are many people that are afraid of, you know, even people laying hands on them or.
Right. Well, most of the time when we advertise for these things, the people that either feel like, oh, I want to know more about that, or the people that are prophetic are the ones that come.
Mm-hmm.
There may be sometimes a person that's there, and sometimes they'll manifest, and we have a team that takes them aside and prays them through, walks them through. Other times people will come and they're like crying, say, I want to talk to you, and I'm like, what's wrong? And they go, I'm worthy to hear God's voice. So you can on occasion get that one person that's a cessationist, and, you know, you're not quite sure if they're even saved, actually. So they're there just to give you a hard time. But, you know, the anointing kind of takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Either they leave or they start participating
right.
and have an experience.
You know, not to take away from you, but... You know, I had gone to a church where the youth pastor that was prophetic was training the young people in the prophetic, and they were, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old. And after some point in time, they had, after the service, the young people, there were teams of two, all in the front, and they were going to give prophetic words to anybody that wanted one. So... after the service, we could go up and just get a word from
yes.
any of them. And I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of cool. And I'm like, let's see who knows what's going on.
That's what we
and,
like to see.
Right.
That's
so
the goal.
So I went to the first one. I went to every single one of them. And each one of them, you know, pretty much confirmed, you know, pieces of what the other one said, confirmed stuff that the Lord had already spoken to me. And I recorded each of those words and then transcribed them, and I still refer to those words. They were just absolutely amazing.
And that's one of the things we encourage people to do. We tell them, you have your phone,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going to take this beautiful thing that the enemy created to distract us, and we're going to use it for our good, and we're going to record
right.
every prophetic word mm-hmm. so that when you're feeling down, you can either transcribe them, like my husband and I have a nice book like that of all our words, and when we get down and out, mm-hmm. we start reading them mm-hmm. and just praying into them,
right.
and before you know it, there's a pep
Amen.
In our step again, because it isn't easy to serve God. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get persecuted. All manner of things. So those prophetic words are like a lifeline. We tell them, honor the prophetic word enough to record it. And then
yes,
go back
right.
later. you know. And my daughter and her boyfriend, they're 25 and 26, but she's been participating with us for the longest. When we went to Austin, which Prophetic Company is founded by two people that live in Austin, Texas. They actually were from California in Vacaville. They went to church with Graham Cook. And,
oh, wow.
You know, out of this church, many prophets came. Louis Ferrante, Graham Cook, so many. So Daniel McCollum and Bethany Hicks were at this church, and they founded Prophetic Company, which is to build prophetic companies where they do exactly what you were talking about. Those young kids were being trained, and so now they're working in tangent. It's not that they knew what each one was going to tell you, but each one giving you a piece gave you a whole picture. You see, and that's what prophetic companies are about. They're about giving you a whole picture. It's no more the big man on campus. Now it's about joining the team, joining amen. The army, yeah. linking amen. Arms as you spoke. Amen. Yes, amen.
Music to amen. Our ears.
And I think the most wonderful part about what we were being trained for is to actually do it. And we would be changing partners all day long.
Yeah, it's pretty exhausting. You know, people will tell you, oh, my goodness, like, I'm tired. So we refer to those scriptures in the Bible that say, train yourself. Train yourself for maturity. Mm. You know, even Paul said, I buffet my body, not buffet my body, but I buffet my body. I'm working out. That's what prophetic activation is. It's a training. So you're going to be going. But even at the end, when we do something that's called rapid fire, people were like, oh. By the end, they're like she said, they didn't want to leave. They're ready for more, you know. At the beginning, though, it's like sludging through mud, you know, because there is a battle. There is an unseen battle.
Yeah, resistance. Amen. Amen. Scene, I'm sure you have something to say.
You know, in the continuum of what God is always doing with his body, because it is fitly joined, framed together, compacted about by a work of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in the continuum is always to prepare the people for their purpose so that they can manifest what they're really called to. And if we've ever been called to do anything, we're really called to become the lava, the volcanic eruption of the church that is rising up. And as you were saying, the mysteries, there's a realm all in and of itself where only the Spirit of God can reveal these things and institute these things and bring these things into our creative abilities and opportunities with an imagination to use the faith that we really have for the time so that we know the season where we're actually standing and walking in the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Carol, when you were talking about the young people, you know, they're desperate. They're desperate. Yeah. So when the Lord is presented to them, we have to see them, that they're in a harvest field in and of themselves. You know, so I don't have young people in my life, but if I come across someone, you know, it's, you can look at them and know that, you know, they might look nice on the outside, but inside they're probably, you know, dying with all of the stuff that they see and maybe what they've dealt with their friends and contemporaries. So we know God.
But it's amazing that they are really concerned about the people that are around them. They want to pray for them. They want to see them know the Lord. They really are on fire for Jesus. I can tell you that.
Yes.
And I love to go to their Bible study. If you're not busy on a Monday or Tuesday in our area, go at 12:15 to 1:30 and just sit down as they carry on their Bible study. I'm telling you, it's just amazing because they're concerned about their friends, or knowing that, you know, I can't hang out with you anymore because of the things that you want to do. And just be grieved. They were grieved. I mean, they're only 18, 19 years old. You know, they pep me up, I can tell you that. But that's what a glow is all about, is entertaining the presence of the Lord and being directed where he would have us move. We're involved with nursing homes. So many of them are completely lost in nursing homes. They also, Kathy, if she was here, she'd be telling you about Tent City Builders, and we partner with them. You know, they pack up bags to, you know, give to the homeless. And so there are many areas that a glow is reaching out, and it's all to serve the Lord and let people know that Jesus really does care about them.
Amen.
And he's got a plan and a purpose, and we want to help you.
Amen.
Amen.
And Lorraine, do you have a website? Do you have
Our website is Prayer and the Word Ministries. PrayerandTheWordMinistries.com. And also, if you want to learn more about Prophetic Company, you can put in their website, PropheticCompany.com.
Okay. So do you have regularly scheduled things? You do things other than a glow, meetings, right?
Yeah, I don't do any. Yeah, a glow, as I said, is a close partner and a friend. We do meetings in different churches, and we always put it up on our website.
Okay.
Wherever we are doing a prophetic activation, it's up on our website.
Okay. And if you didn't get that, you can call here at the station. I'll give you that info. And our number here is 772-221-1100. So we got about 3 minutes left.
And, I just want to read.
Did you have something?
I just want to read a quick scripture. The Lord's been bringing this in multiple ways, and I love the way he confirms that by his Spirit. It'll come through a song. It'll come through a podcast teaching. It'll come through, you know, it just comes. It comes. It comes by the Spirit when you're praying and interceding. So familiar scripture, but this is what God wants to do right now. Isaiah 43:19. See, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not be aware of it? I will make even a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Mm-hmm. Amen. And verse 21, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. God is looking for us to break out, break free from the box and the mold of man. Mm-hmm. He is not going to do it like he did when I came to the Lord in 1995, the Brownsville and the different movements. God is going to do it however he chooses to do it. And we don't need to question it. We don't need to care what man thinks or opinions. We just need to say, do it, Lord. Mm-hmm. We welcome it. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Lord. And if he tells you to do something in the grocery store or at the gas station or in the parking lot of your office building, whatever he tells you to do, whatever Holy Spirit lays on your heart, call that person right now. Tell them this. Tell them that. We need to be willing, ready, willing, and available for the Lord, because he is looking. He's looking for us. We are his ambassadors, and he's looking to do that new thing. Just break out and trust the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. So I have to wrap it up here. But Carol and Lorraine, thank you so much for coming. And it was good to hear about the event and the success of it. And to know that there's young people that are hungry for God.
Yes.
And that they're gonna minister to their friends.
Amen. Thank you for the invitation.
Because they don't want to listen to the older people.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
So, yeah, we really appreciate you coming. And God bless. God bless Carol with a glow and all the things that you do there. And God bless you, Lorraine, with your ministry. And God bless everybody else. We love you, and we will be back next week.
Amen.
Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places. Okay, actually, it's going to be 2 weeks before we're back. We got fundraising. So we will see you then.